visit to New Hampshire. About this time, she continued in her account of her activities in late spring, 1845, I was shown that it was my duty to visit our people in New Hampshire. Joseph Turner, learning that Ellen was planning such a journey, drove up with a beautiful conveyance and volunteered to take her wherever she wanted to go. "No, sir," Ellen replied. "You cannot do that." "But, Ellen," he said, "the Lord has told me that I must." "No," said Ellen. "He has not. I have had my special orders. I may trust Elder James White." As she recalled the incident, she said, "This man wanted to get some power over me. But he did not get it because I would not ride a rod with him." DF 733C, Interview, August 13, 1906. Earlier in her recounting of the experience, she said, "I had had strict instruction that there were men who would come to me and have a great burden that I should go with them to some place, but I was not to go. But, it would be presented, that I could trust James White, he would guard me, and I was in no danger." Ibid. Late in life, Ellen declared of James, "Although he is dead, I feel that he is the best man that ever trod shoe leather." Ibid. Of course, she did not travel alone with James before their marriage. Other young women accompanied her, and the couple was exceedingly careful to give no occasion for criticism. She wrote, "As for marriage, we never thought of it, because we thought the Lord would come right along." Ibid. My constant and faithful companion at this time was Sister Louisa Foss, the sister of my brother-in-law. We were also accompanied by Elder Files and his wife, who were old and valued friends of my family, Brother Ralph Haskins and Elder James White. They were well received in New Hampshire. On this particular trip, Ellen failed to meet the challenge of her work. She later regretfully wrote of it. "There were wrongs existing in that field which burdened me much. We had to meet a spirit of self-righteousness that was very depressing. I had previously been shown the pride and exaltation of certain ones whom we visited, but had not the courage to meet them with my testimony. Had I done so, the Lord would have sustained me in doing my duty. I did not yet feel sufficiently strong to relieve my mind and place the oppressive burden upon those to whom it belonged." The traveling group stopped at the home of Washington Morse. While there, Ellen was very ill. As prayer was being offered in her behalf, she was taken in vision. She later wrote, "While I was in this state, some things were shown me concerning the disappointment of 1844, in connection with the case of Elder Morse. He had been a firm and consistent believer that the Lord would come at that time. He was bitterly disappointed when the period passed without bringing the event that was expected. He was perplexed and unable to explain the delay. When the time passed, he was despondent and did nothing to encourage the disappointed people, who were like sheep without a shepherd, left to be devoured by wolves. The case of Jonah was presented before me." She recounted Jonah's experience and disappointment when God gave the city a reprieve, and declared, "Elder Morse was in a similar condition to that of the disappointed prophet. He had proclaimed that the Lord would come in 1844. The time had passed. The check of fear that had partially held the people was removed, and they indulged in derision of those who had looked in vain for Jesus. Elder Morse felt that he was a byword among his neighbors, an object of jest. He could not be reconciled to his position. He did not consider the mercy of God in granting the world a longer time to prepare for his coming, that the warning of his judgment might be heard more widely, and the people tested with greater light. He only thought of the humiliation of God's servants. I was shown that although the event so solemnly proclaimed did not occur, as in the case of Jonah, the message was nonetheless of God, and accomplished the purpose that he designed it should. Subsequent light upon the prophecies revealed the event which did take place, in the high priest entering the most holy place of the sanctuary in heaven to finish the atonement for the sins of man. Nevertheless, God willed for a wise purpose that his servants should proclaim the approaching end of time. Instead of being discouraged at his disappointment, as was Jonah, Elder Moore should gather up the rays of precious light that God had given his people and cast aside his selfish sorrow. He should rejoice that the world was granted a reprieve, and be ready to aid in carrying forward the great work yet to be done upon the earth, in bringing sinners to repentance and salvation. The case of Elder Morse was presented to me as one that represented the condition of a large class of our people at that time. Their duty was plainly marked. It was to trust in the wisdom and mercy of God and patiently labor as His providence opened the way before them. Elder Morse gave heed to the council and became a strong minister in the developing church.